Father, we thank you for your word today, and we pray that you bless us and touch us and open up our hearts and our understanding that we might hear your truth and the message that you have for each one of us. Bless us today, Lord, as only you can. Do visit us, Lord, by your Spirit, who is our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of the Revelation appears to be a hodgepodge of unrelated and at times confusing information and stories. It presents personalities that are at best mentioned in previous books of the Bible sometimes, but here they are expanded in the book of the Revelation. Yet after each chapter, it seems almost impossible to put it all together, at least in one frame of reference. It is something about the book of Revelation that it seems confusing, but it really is put together by the Lord. It may appear to be a book that is disjointed and confusing, but we can be certain that its order is impeccable, since God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Over 3 weeks ago, we last studied in the book of the Revelation, and we ended in Revelation 16:10. In verse 1, John heard a great voice here in Revelation 16. And that word great, we consider it to be a loud voice from the heavenly temple, which spoke to seven angels. This is where we are. He spoke to seven angels. These angels were commissioned to go and pour out God's wrath on the earth, and they each had a vial, or in our language, a bowl that they used. And so the part of the book, and people are afraid to read the book of the Revelation because it's so much, it appears to be violence in there, and it is violence, and it's the wrath of God. We're seeing what the wrath of God looks like here in this book, and he's showing us. But aren't you glad that you know Jesus?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to participate in this. So it covered the works of the first five angels, and that's what we did. We covered the works. The first angel poured out his vial or his bowl out on the earth, and it resulted in painful, smelly sores on men. And it was poured out on those that had taken the mark of the beast. The second angel poured his bowl out on the sea, and the sea became as the blood of dead men, and everything died. What's the blood of a dead man? I mean, that's what it said. It became as the blood of dead men. The third angel poured his vial upon rivers and fountains. Those fountains would be like the wells of water. When they say fountains, it's like fountains comes from under the earth. And, you know, back in Genesis, that's how the earth was watered. It was watered from the fountains, you know, and the mist would come up from the earth. And so we all know about wells. Those that live out in the country, you know that that's your water source. You dig down far enough, you find the water, and it's a fountain. But this one poured out his bowl upon rivers and fountains, meaning he went to rivers and he also poured it out to the water source under the grounds, and they became blood as well. One called the angel of the waters proclaimed, he said this, "Thou art righteous, Lord, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. They have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." Folks would may think that God is so, how could he be so righteous and do something so horrible to men? But the angel says that he's righteous. In other words, he's doing what is right. And this particular thing, he's, you know, you reap what you sow. And he's righteous in doing that. But men, of course, would look at it from a different angle. Men, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny. Men act and live any kind of way they want to live. And when something go wrong, they start talking about God.
Yeah.
They ain't said nothing about God for 10 years.
In a row.
Then mama died, and they mad at God. You know, it's like, well, why are you talking about God now? You had nothing to do with him for 10 years. Mama died, and all of a sudden, God let my mama die.
Yeah.
That's why I ain't got nothing to do with God. Well, just keep your mouth shut, man. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Right. So, man, it's funny, but it's not funny, you know, that you know, we're like that. It's like, another voice was heard out of the altar, which said, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. He's saying that what you're doing is true and what you're doing is righteous. Uh-huh. You say, but he's killing folks. It's righteous. It's true. As he's saying, and we're letting you know that y'all might misunderstand what God is doing, but what he's doing is true, and what he's doing is righteous. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men. Imagine that. The skin blisters and cracks. That's what will be happening to these men that takes the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
That's why I say, you know, it might not happen to your generation, but you need to tell your children and your nephews and your nieces, say, look, if it happens during your generation, whatever you do, don't take the mark. Don't take the mark. Accept Jesus. Don't take the mark. It's a bad thing to do. And if it don't happen in your lifetime, you tell your children, pass it down the line. Don't take the mark. It's going to be costly not to take the mark, but it'll just be costly here, but it's more costly for those that do take the mark. And so even though we're talking about something that may not happen in our lifetime, and it's still yet to be seen, because all of these things won't really take place until the church is taken out of the way, but it's still important that we know this and that we witness.
Yeah.
I mean, once we know that this thing is happening, we have a responsibility to share with others. Say, man, you're not getting away with anything, you know. And anyone that dies without Christ is not getting away with anything still. Say, well, at least I missed the tribulation. Yeah, but you won't miss the judgment. You won't miss the lake of fire. So it's important. These things that we're talking about and that we're doing today, it's important for eternity, for our eternity. It's like, where will you spend eternity? Will you spend it with God, or will you spend it away from God? That's the main question. And that's you know, as folks will keep noise going in the background when they sleep because they don't want to hear. They don't want to think about their mortality. You know, they'll walk in the door and turn something on and turn it on blast. And this is God's music and God's word. They'll turn it on just so they won't hear. You know, if you sit still long enough, you start thinking, you know.
Yes,
you start hearing yourself.
Yeah.
You start hearing your thoughts, see. But folks they'll get so loud and it just blasts it, you can't hear yourself thinking. You've got a lot inside of you that you need to know about. It's a lot that you need to address on the inside of you. So if you run from it, you're just messed up. You know, it's just messed up. There's some answers there for you. And if we just kind of sit still, a lady asked me, well, how was your New Year's? I said, it was quiet and peaceful. It was quiet and peaceful. And this was a much younger lady, so I don't know if she understood what I meant, but it's nothing like peace and quiet. Hallelujah. The fifth angel will pour his bowl upon the seat of the beast, causing a darkness and pain. Scripture tells us that these men gnawed their tongue for pain. You're hurting so bad that you're chewing on your tongue. That's some pain. And there's no remedy during this time because the hospital systems will not be operational like we know them today, because many of the people in the hospital will be getting hit by this same stuff. They're not going to be trying to fix you. They're going to be trying to get something for themselves. And it'll be overrun by people that are hurting and sick and people that are blistered. You got something for my blister? You got to help me. They're like, we're closed.
You ain't got
the money. You know, we're closed. See? So the thing that we take for granted today, all of these things will be affected during that time. It's a long story, but let's pick it up in Revelation 16:11. I wanted to do that as a review. Maybe I didn't tell you that's what I was doing. But that was sort of a review to bring us back up to where we ended. Let's go to Revelation 16:11. That's where we will pick up. They gnawed their tongues. They chewed on their tongues. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds. It just made them more angry. These men will be set in their condition, even though they may know that God is behind their suffering. It may seem unfair, but they'll only have themselves to blame. If you reap what you sow, it's true. If that's a true saying, it should also be in support of this particular judgment. They're reaping what they sow, what they've sown. You reap what you sow, y'all. Look at me. You reap what you sow. Whether that has to do with eternity or not, you reap what you sow. I tore up some mailboxes in my young days. Cotton picking, somebody tore up my mailbox. I found it on the ground. Wow. I've snatched some antennas off of cars in my day. Guess what? Yeah, I've had that happen. They've taken my antenna, come out, no antenna. So you see me running down the street with a coat hanger, and it's because, you know, I just say, you know what, I can't be mad.
Right, there you go.
I'm reaping what I sowed. So, and that's how that goes. Verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. This river, the Euphrates River, is known the world over. And generation after generation has depended on this great river for survival. It's a great river. It is mentioned more than 25 times in scriptures, the river Euphrates. Nevertheless, this great river will dry up during the tribulation period. Dried. It's carried the distinction of dividing the east from the west, preventing the kings from the west from moving their great army into the east, that is the Middle East. So that river is fixing it so that the military machinery can't reach into the east. But when this angel pours out his bowl, this river will dry up and the barrier will be gone. Notice that word kings in that verse, if you look at it, it's got an S on it. Kings mentioned here is plural, meaning more than one king. Many believe that this speaks of China, North Korea, Japan, and perhaps India. And all of these are adversaries. Because China, we know China, they're dealing with us because they have to. You know, they own a lot of things in the United States. We know what's been going on with North Korea. You know, that crazy man over there, he's you know, and been dealing with him. And of course, Japan, we were at war with them once. And if India has a very large population of people. And so many think that is what's about. China, it is more than 200 million men of military age right now. And this number increases by more than 10 million each year. They grow into military age. That means that next year I will become 18 or 19 or whatever military age is. That is, every year 10 million men on their birthdays or whatever become military age. And so China, Revelation 9:16 speaks of a 200 million man army in Revelation 9:16. it wasn't that many men on the earth when John was writing the book of the Revelation, not 200 million. But it was prophesying ahead of time, talking about a 200 million man army that will be seduced to attack and destroy millions and millions of people. If this speaks of a human army, and I imagine it's not an army of angels, and if it does speak of a human army, it appears that China is the likely king for several reasons. Number one, her oil reserves are being depleted. It's going down. She has reserves that she used. They're being depleted. Their gasoline requirements are increasing seven times as fast as the United States gasoline requirements. Now, oil is in the Middle East. She's relying more and more on oil from the Middle East because of the reserves are. And so they're beginning to need what they have in the Middle East. And she is, as I speak, using the strength of her growing economy to build, to equip, and to restructure her military so her troops can be moved around the world. As I speak, they're using, because they're making a lot of money, they're selling things. And they're utilizing their economic growth to grow their military strength, to grow their military machine. And so she's doing that. So I can only imagine that during the tribulation period, when the Euphrates River dries up, they'll be able to march right across where all that oil is, right across. So right now, we're thinking that China is one of the lead kings. India, they don't have the military that China has. And they have a smaller military, a smaller militia. And so India couldn't do it, but China could. I mean, so watch China in the news. Just kind of, I'm not saying track them down, but just watch China. Just watch them, because China is a real big superpower in the world. And that's something we can see today. Revelation 13 and 14 says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty." This is the unholy trinity they're talking about. Three unholy partners, if you will. They're going to be possessed or assisted by unclean spirits. One demon spirit per person. If you don't believe in demons, well, okay. But one demon spirit per person. In the Old Testament, God was looking for a way, and this is just an Old Testament story. He was looking for a way to lure the wicked king Ahab into a death trap. He was. And an evil spirit volunteered to be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's false prophets. Now, I don't understand this relationship of God and these spirits back in the Old Testament, but apparently they were still dealing with each other, and maybe still do, because the devil can't do anything that God won't allow. So he's still under God's control. And so when you say, oh, you know, the devil's giving me a hard time, well, God must be letting him do it. But just remember, many times tribulation and pain and problems come to us to make us. And what God's greatest desire is for us to be formed into the image of his son. In order to be formed to the image of his son, some of this stuff in your life, in my life, got to go. It's got to be moved. It's got to be. You can't be walking around doing some of the stuff that we are known to do and think you're going to be formed to the image of Christ. It's not going to happen. Christ didn't do some of this stuff we're doing. I said we, y'all. So I ain't judging you. I'm just saying. And God is working on me too. He cannot be formed in me completely with some of the stuff that we are entertaining and we're doing. And so if something comes upon you because of something you do and say, oh, the devil give me a hard time. Maybe he is. Or maybe you need to stop what you're doing. Maybe you need to cut that off and ask God to help you to get rid of this thing. Nobody has to tell you when you're wrong. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you know when you're wrong? Don't get quiet on me now. Let's be honest now. You know when you're wrong. You see? And we go on and we do it, and we're wrong anyway. Nobody ain't got to tell you, man. When you're wrong, man, you know you're wrong. You're like, the main thing is to say, well, I know, but most times folks say, man, get out of my face. You ain't got nothing. This ain't your, not your business. Well, listen. Right, yeah. You're right. You're wrong. You know. But nobody really has to tell you that you're wrong. Because most of the times, you know that you're wrong. And I know that I'm wrong. And I be just talking to myself when I'm doing something. Well, anyway, you know, you got to do something. You got to, sometimes things just, you know. And you're reasoning through it. But after the reasoning, you're still wrong.
You're still wrong.
Praise the Lord.
Really?
You know, nobody has to tell you when you're wrong. It's just a natural thing that we know. We know. And it's not an indictment. And it's not coming down and judging you, because we're made like this. We are made and we operate under the law of good and evil in the flesh part of our lives. It's still there, and it's still very powerful, and it still very powerfully works. Either you do good or you do evil. But I want you to know that good is not good enough with Christ. Good is not good enough with Christ. You need the righteousness of Christ, in Christ Jesus. And that's not anything that you nor I can do on our own. We have to accept and receive it from Him.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're going to continue to fight this battle of good and evil and good and evil. And just confess it to God. Well, Lord, I did it again. I kind of enjoyed it, Lord. Don't go, oh, I'm so miserable. You know, what's the worst thing I did? Now you're lying. You're compounding it with a lie. You done wrong. You confess. Now you're compounding it with a lie. Be truthful. Just tell the Lord. Just say, you know what? Listen, you and I both know what's going on here. And just be honest with Him. Because He already knows. It's more like be honest with yourself. And just begin to trust Him to help you move past that and walk and move in the righteousness of Christ Jesus, which is given to you. It's not something you can do. See, that's the hard part. And you know they call that walking by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. You know?
Yeah.
Faith says that's a great big old semi-truck coming out of control at me, but I am not going to be destroyed by it. Because God says this concerning me in His word, regardless of how big this thing is. This is what God says. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I cannot be defined by what my old man and my old nature does. Y'all, it's going to happen for the rest of your life. You're going to do good, and you're going to do evil. You want to do less evil as you can. And we are called to do good works. But a good work outside of Christ is no good anyway. It's got to be in Christ. It has no significance. If an unsaved person gives to the poor and a saved person gives to the poor, the saved person's giving is greater than the unsaved person's giving. Because you're doing it in Christ. He said, well, you're being discriminatory. Yeah, whatever, but the works in Christ are more effectual because they're working for towards the kingdom. And they also have God's life in them coming out of you. God's life is attached to it. And so when you say give to a homeless person, like I might, it might have been able to do so much now because I changed cars and I don't have power windows, so I can't reach. But I try. But if I get a chance to give, I will say, God bless you. That's what I'll say. God bless you. That God bless you is full of God's Spirit of God's life that I'm breathing in His direction. God bless you. Take care. And I'm out, you know. I have the ability to speak blessing to people that I deal with. God bless you. You say, well, I didn't just say words. That's because you're not walking by faith. You walk by faith. And you don't have to go, you know, one man said, now, he's holding on to part of the money that he got. And he says, now, this God's money. So you should be careful how you see. He's holding on to the thing. Be careful how you spend God's money. It's like, oh, man, keep the money, man. You know, it's like, listen, God bless you, man. May the Lord be with you. May He provide your needs. May He bless you and help you, you know. And just be like that and be a blessing in the world. I know it's like, oh, that's so disjointed. Don't worry about it. Just trust me with this. No, don't trust me. Trust God. Trust God with this. So anyway, I'm got way off. See, there you go. Way off of that, talking about King Ahab and the lying spirit that was sent. Remember, we was talking about the lying spirit that was sent to King Ahab. And this spirit volunteered to be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophet. So what happens is that evil spirits and lying spirits will use people that are set up in religious positions to give advice, meaning preachers, evangelists, folks that carry that title, thank you, preachers, evangelists, prophets, those that carry apostles and all of this. If you're not careful, they could be being led by a lying spirit. You gotta know this. That's why the word of God is so very important. Because, man, they'll take that word and they'll split it off and add stuff to it and be lying, lying, lying. But you go, well, it is in the Bible, because they read a part of a scripture. They'll say, take your Bibles and you'll turn the Bible and you'll read right along with them. But if it's not rightly divided, they're going to take you down the road. You know, they got these meetings, they say, I've got a $100 line. I had a $50 line. And come on, you know, you want a blessing. Get in the $100 line. Who want a blessing? Ain't people okay? I do. And they'll get in the $100 line. God gonna bless you. God gonna bless you. God gonna bless you. We'll get to the $50. How many more $100 we got here? And folks get in the $100 line. And they're coming. And they're saying, and they'll put their money in the thing. And they say, okay, hallelujah. Okay, we're gonna still bless you. And you're the same as $100, but we got a $50 line. And folks will say, I got $50 and they do. And then in the end, you say, okay, whatever you got, put it in this bucket. And God will bless you. I'm praying on prayer, all of it. And you know, wait a minute. Let's see, where is it? I don't see it. I don't see it in scripture. How about this? You go to a meeting and they take up the offering and they count it and say, we ain't got enough. We got to take another offering. You only got to take another offering, nothing. You're not trusting God. And a whole bunch of other, 5 loaves and 2 fish. We've been there. We have trusted God with the 5 loaves, 2 fish doctrine.
Yeah.
Where we've been down to several $100s and our bills are like $8,000, $1,000, at least $1,000 a month. And I'm like, oh Lord, you know, you got to multiply this. And we still made it.
Yeah.
You see? And a check showed up at the mailbox. I'm like, who is this person? And apologizing for just sending the check. I'm like, well, you're forgiven. Whoever you are, praise God. Let's put this in the bank. That's a $300 check. She's never been here. God is able, y'all.
Yes, sir.
Just to let you know, God is able. Anyway, I'm trying to get back to the story of Ahab. So when Ahab did ask his prophets if he should battle as a person of this Arameans at Ramoth Gilead, his prophets, influenced by the lying spirit, said that, go ahead, you'll win. Instead, the man was killed in battle. Because it was a lying spirit, he should have gone. But he just walked into that trap. We can only speculate about these frog spirits that we hear read, like the frog-like appearance of these demons. But the Egyptians worshipped Heka. It's called Heka, H-E-K-A. That's Heka was a frog-headed goddess. She is the oldest goddess who was said to have demonic powers. The second plague in Egypt during the days of Moses was a plague of frogs. Frogs are connected with the occult. Witchcraft. Witches are often portrayed with frogs, and they use them in their spells. 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Revelation 16:14 tells us that these three frog-like spirits are demons, and their main purpose is to seduce the kings of the earth to battle, is to seduce them to go to battle. When the sixth vial or the sixth bowl is poured out, spirits of demons will use miraculous signs, and they're going to use miraculous signs to lure the leaders of the world and their God-defying troops into a death trap called the Great Day of God Almighty. It's going to happen. It's known by another name, by the godless and the God-fearing alike. That day is known as the Battle of Armageddon. Even unsaved people talk about Armageddon. And so it's going to do that. And God has his reasons for doing this, for drawing them. Number one is to do to the nations what they have done to Israel. You do know this is all about Israel and Israel's treatment in the world. So y'all listen. Don't be against Israel. If you are a friend of Israel, God is your friend. There are Christians that speak against Israel, and they try to take Israel's heritage and blessing, but we got our own heritage. We got our own blessing. Israel has his. Pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. He's going to do this because people are going to be scattered because they scattered the Jews. And historically, you can see where the Jews were scattered throughout the world. He's going to allow this thing in the book of the Revelations because people are going to lose their land for seizing the Jewish lands. Because they did, and they still try to do that, to seize Jewish land. He's going to do it because people refuse to repent and give glory to God. They're in Revelation 16, 9 and 8. He's going to do it because people live wickedly and ignore the second coming of Christ. God has given us plenty warning. And he's given the world plenty warning. He has his people that are carrying the gospel throughout the world. There are people in certain parts of the world, I won't open my mouth and say I don't want to go, because that's how you wind up going when you say that. In certain parts of the world where I would not care to be. But they're going in, and it's dangerous, and you could get killed for they will smuggle Bibles in these lands. But God has got his gospel throughout the whole world. Men know of a Christ. And if the preachers don't make it there, they also have a law that they live by, and God will hold them accountable for how they lived according to their own law. And so we've made it here to Revelation 16, 13 and 14. But let me give you my testimony. Last night I went to work out, and gentleman and his wife came in. Now, I know, I've met them, and finally we began to work out together. And I said, well, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good. He said, oh, but since you asked, you know, back in October of 2018, my wife lost her father. I said, oh, man, that's pretty rough, you know. He said, yes, so, yeah. I said, well, I'll pray for her. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. So after we finished and I was getting ready to go home, I said, you think it would be okay for me to go and offer her my condolences? He said, yes, that would be great. And so before I left, I went and said, I want to tell you I'm so very sorry and my condolences on the loss of your father. She said, oh, thank you. I said, I will be praying for you. Thank you. Thank you very much. So I left and told the teacher I was leaving and got my stuff. And I was leaving to go get into my truck to go home. And these two came walking out. So I said, all right, y'all, listen, y'all. All right. Okay, and they kind of stopped when we got to talking, and thank you so much for the condolences. I said, you're welcome. I say, listen, I know it's rough. That's pretty rough. I guess y'all were pretty close. Yeah, we were really close. I said, man, that's going to leave a real big gap there for you. But I began to talk about where he was and how much better he's doing. Doesn't always help, but he's got to be doing a whole lot better than we are. It's not. He hasn't lost anything. It's us. We've lost because we're used to having him there. And she said, yeah, that's true. Then she said, you know, my sister had a dream about my father. And she said, my father told her that if I could come back, I wouldn't because of the music. I said, did you say music? She said, yeah, music. I said, I think I could tell you a little bit about that music. About close to 30 years ago, I was sleeping. I had a dream or a vision, and I began to tell them about this. I'm going to tell you on the pickup to where I was talking to them. And in that dream or vision or whatever that was, one of the things I heard was music. The music was not measured music like we have. It wasn't. If we heard it here, it would be considered disorganized, but it wasn't disorganized. But it was just music, just playing. The most beautiful music I have ever heard in my life. The most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life. And it's not measured. It's not like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. There's no measure. Right, right. There's no measure. There's no apparent structure. But at the same time, it was structured because it's like the sound was so rich and so beautiful. It envelops you, and it's like a music that I can't per se remember, but I do remember the experience. And it's close to 30 years or more since then, but I remember when I woke up, and the last thing I saw was I was looking into the face of a person, and it had like a pear shape or a heart shaped face. And that person looked at me with eyes of love, a kind of love that we don't know of in this world. No words were spoken, but I knew that person loved me at such a level and in such a manner, not like any level or any manner that we know on this earth. And it was such a beautiful thing to see. And I wake up. And my wife is in bed, so I look at my wife, and I turn like this, and I close my eyes to try to recapture that. And what made me sad was I woke up. It was such a beautiful experience, the music and that love. And I began to weep because that was it. I wept so hard that the bed was bouncing like this. I was what? And Joyce was bouncing. So I was like, I gotta get out of here. If she wake up, I can't tell her because I can't talk. And I wouldn't know what to tell her. I saw something. I couldn't talk. I was so overcome. So I ran out the room in the living room. I closed the door and I sat there and I wept and wept and wept because I was back. So I told her this experience, and I said, you know, this is so wonderful because what you told me is a confirmation to me And what I'm doing is giving you a confirmation that the music that your dad told your sister about in the dream is a real music, because I heard it. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters in the Lord, let me tell you, heaven is better than better. And there's something that comes after better that we don't know, but it's better than that. It is richer. The colors are living colors. Like that show, Living Colors. No, it's better than the Living Colors show. I saw the colors. They were so lively. Our red, compared to heaven's red, is dark. I like our red. It's a pretty red. That red is dark compared to the red in heaven. The ground, if it was grass, doesn't die. When you step on it, it just back up like a sponge. It doesn't die. You know why? There's no death in heaven. There's no decay in heaven. There's no problems in heaven. Everybody is hilarious in heaven. Heaven has got to be the most hilarious, happy place ever, because everybody's on the same page and we're there with the Lord, y'all. I got to tell you, you should be rejoicing if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, because he's going to prepare a place for us that where he is, there we may be also. Y'all should rejoice. And don't worry so much about your failures and everything like that. Listen, everybody fails. Rejoice. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. And God will deal with you about those little things.
Yes, sir.
He'll take care of that, you know. Anything that gets between you and him, he will address in your life. So just remember, he'll address it. Don't get mad at him. And if it's the devil, God ain't gonna let the devil do no more than God will allow him to do.
Yeah.
You see, and don't, oh, the devil. Listen, the devil has been defeated. Jesus destroyed the devil. And when you come in Christ, the devil is destroyed to you. We are children of the Most High God. Boy, he's got some. This is better than waiting for Santa Claus, y'all. You know, this is better, so much better, because what he has for us, and this is just one experience that I'm able to share with you that was finally confirmed 30 years after I had it. 30 years. Say, so Lord, you showed that to me so that I would be able to confirm for her that the dream that her sister had was real concerning dad in heaven.
Yeah.
Wow. Y'all trust the Lord that what he says is true. What he has for us is there. Now, if he's preparing a place, just imagine this. Well, it's kind of hard to imagine this place, but do the best you can. But just imagine what this place is going to be. You talk about a palace. You talk about royalty. You talk about beauty. You talk about the music and the colors and the smells. Oh, heaven. Well, we need a message on heaven. What y'all think?
He's got one.
Thanks. It's a beautiful thing, y'all. So be encouraged in the Lord, because what he has for us is real. I was all the way in Miami with that vision. Here I am in Tallahassee 30 years later and happened to intersect with this person at this particular time. Only God can engineer that. Only God can engineer that. So praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for this word. It might have gone a little further, but we thank you for it. And just do help us, Lord, and help us to hold on to those truths that matter to us, and help us, Lord, to learn to walk by faith and not by sight, and continue to trust you. We don't throw sin in your face, but Lord, we do understand our condition, and we thank you that you died for us, that you were buried and raised on the third day for our sins, and that you delivered us from our sins. And we bless your name, and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. If you want prayer, just come up here, and I will pray with you.